Welcome to the sermon from Silver Lake Baptist Church. Our mission is to celebrate the greatness of God with all we are for the joy, hope, and renewal of our community. We are so glad you have chosen to listen to our message. We pray you will be blessed by your time with us today.
Well, good morning. How y'all doing? Everybody doing good? Great to see your bright, shining, smiling faces first thing in the morning on Sunday. I say first thing because I usually don't get up till noon. I am kidding. But good to see y'all. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love and your peace and your goodness and just your love for us and for being so gracious and kind and always being faithful, always being true, because that's just who you are, and we give you the praise for it. Holy Spirit, I submit myself to you. Speak through me this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is a great time of year. I love it. Again, it's my favorite Saturday in May, maybe one of my favorite Saturdays of the entire year. I plan it meticulously so I can watch the Kentucky Derby live. And again, this year, I did not get to watch it live. But I'm getting smarter because there's this magic thing on your TV called a recorder. And so I hit the recorder and I was able to watch it live. A couple years ago, I went out to, I was like, me and Linda both, we got some food and we're going to sit down and we're going to watch the whole thing because it's a whole production, the whole Kentucky Derby. And so I like watching all 8 hours of it or whatever. So I got up early. Linda's like, we'll have lunch ready and we'll have this thing going. And so I got up and I was like, I'll feed the horses later. And I went out to the store to get some of our lunch. And I just had this weird feeling. It was raining. And I was like, I'm just going to drive by and check on the horses. Because, you know, cowboy, you just got to kind of check on your horses, you know. And so I drive by, and I was like, I'm just going to drive by the road and make sure they're okay. And so, because they were off in a 40 acres off on a pasture, and I could see them from up there. And I drove by, and they're all circled around like the Lion King, you know. And they're looking at the middle, and I'm like, what is going on there, right? And so I pulled in, went down, and I saw something in the middle. And we had some coyotes out that would come and try to nip on the horses. So I thought, well, maybe it's a coyote or something. So I looked down there, and it's a colt. And we're not supposed to have a colt. In fact, the mare that had the baby, I thought she was so big she had worms. So I kept worming her, trying to figure out how I can get that fixed. So there's a baby colt out there in the pouring rain, of course. So I send a picture to Linda, and she says, where's that at? I was like, that's in our pasture. And so we got the mom up, got the baby up, put a tent up in a canopy. So we're in the mud, making sure the baby's all good and stuff. And by the time I got done, I'd missed the whole Kentucky Derby. And so the horse caused me to miss the Kentucky Derby. So we named her Poppy. And we call her Poppy May 7th. And so, because she was born on May 7th, and she kind of surprised us. She popped up, right? And so we call her Poppy, and we actually put her in a pop-up tent, too. Everyone's like, did you name her Poppy because you put her in a pop-up tent, right? And I was like, no, I put her name's Poppy because she just popped up out of nowhere. But the whole point in all this long story is this. I have no point. I just wanted to tell you a story. I'm kidding. Actually, I was thinking one thing, right? I was like, you know what? I know there's no way this thing's going to happen, and I made my plans, and I was prepared, and all of a sudden, my plans changed. They went from here. I was going this way, and life took me another way. It threw a curveball at me. But, like, usually you get bad curveballs. That was a really cool curveball because I actually still have her, right? Wayne actually kept her up there for a while, too. So Wayne knows her real well. She's a sweetheart. She's a really good little horse, but she is a great blessing. We think our plans are the best plans. And we think that we know everything and know how things should be. And we just click, 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 click. And a lot of us, we're driving out of, well, what if this happens? We're playing chess. Right? Actually, we think we're playing chess. We're playing checkers and God's playing chess. Right? Because we're thinking from past hurts, or we're trying, well, this happened in the past, so they moved here, so if I move here, then that'll be fine. And God's like, man, I don't want you to be thinking and trying to manipulate your future for a certain outcome. I want you to trust me. Are you going to trust me? Are you going to just say, you know what? I surrender to you, Father. Right? And that's where our true victory comes, is in, hey, I surrender you. Now, that doesn't mean if we ask and if we're believing God for something, ask Him, believe for it, and then let go of the how. Right? Because if you start doing the how, you start thinking, well, I need a new car. And your brain is your flesh is an atheist. Right? Your thoughts, like you're coming up and you're like, you know what, I need this, and I have no way of getting this, and your mind's yelling at your thoughts. It's not your mind, it's your thoughts from past experiences, or no matter what it is yelling at you, screaming, well, you'll never get that. How are you going to get that? You need a new job, you need a new look, you need to get a good interest rate, and you need the loans, and you need this, and you got that. And all of a sudden, the how starts getting bigger than the God. Do you hear what I'm saying? The King of the universe, who created this entire thing out of nothing, right? You say, well, I'm an atheist. I believe in the Big Bang. That's even more faith. Because you believe that a little thing that was the size of a pea got really, really hot and then exploded. And guess what? It still all started with a seed. And then where did the seed come from? Right? Everything comes from nothing. And just because you can't see it doesn't mean it don't exist. We have trillions of cells and so many things in our bodies that we can't even see that would blow us away. But you're like, well, if I can't see it, I don't believe it. If I can't see it, it don't exist. I guess oxygen don't exist. Right? You can't see Jupiter or Saturn without a telescope. Do you believe that exists? Remember all those planets she was talking about, that galaxies that the Phyllis was talking about in the missions moment. Without a telescope, you can't see it, so does that mean it don't exist? Are you trusting what you can see with your physical eyes, or are you trusting God with everything? The whole faith walk comes to, I surrender everything to a God that I can't see, I can't hear, I can't taste, I can't touch. Now, can't hear might be a little different. You can hear Him, but maybe not the way you want to hear Him, right? You hear what I'm saying? You can feel Him, but maybe not the way you want to feel Him. You can see Him, but maybe not the way you want to see Him. What if you can open the eyes of your spirit? And that's what Paul prayed. I pray that the eyes of your heart would be open so that you can see. Because it's so much bigger than what your five senses say. Remember last week I talked about irrational confidence. Not in yourself. That would be stupid. Right? I used to have a rational confidence. Well, I can ride that horse. I don't need anything. Right? I crawled on a horse one time. I was like, I got a rational. I can't get bucked off. I worked for this trainer. And he'd, when I was in high school, and he'd tie these colts up to a post and throw a saddle on them, let them buck around and say, okay, boy, get on. And I was stupid. Do you know what I did? I got on. And then he'd untie it, and we'd go for a little bit of a ride, and then he'd snub it up on a colt, on another horse, and we'd go down the highway. So I'd rode this horse like maybe five times. And I'm feeling, it was kind of a sketchy horse. And I'm riding along. And his name was Joe. I was like, Joe, I don't think I can be bucked off. And Joe's like, son, I know you think you're really good, but everybody can get bucked off. I was like, nah, there ain't a horse that can buck me off. Do you know what I had? Irrational confidence. 2 minutes later, the horse sees a piece of paper, jumps sideways, and I fall off. And guess what I had to hear 4 miles back to the house? Oh, can't get bucked off. I believe that, but you can sure fall off. Right? That's irrational confidence in myself. But I want to have irrational confidence with God where God says, you know what? You're more than able. Like the children of Israel. Here's a story here of irrational confidence. We're going to go into Numbers. Know where numbers start? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. So it says here in Numbers chapter 13, the Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites from each ancestral tribe. Send one of its leaders. So at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites. Watch this. These were all leaders. He brought up leaders. He's like I'm bringing a leader from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And he says these are the names of them. And he goes through the names of them. I'm not going to read them all because you guys will fall asleep. Right? These are the names of the men Moses. And then I'm going to drop down to 16. These are the name of the men Moses sent to explore the land. Moses gave Hoshea, son of Nun, the name Joshua. Do you know what that also is? It's like Yeshua. You know what Yeshua is? It's like Jesus. Right? And so when you see that, so now I skipped over these names to save time, not because they're not important. Right? Every name means something. Every name has great meaning and great and something great about it, right? That's what, like my name, James. Like when you think of James, the first thing you think of is a king. Especially if you go to church. I was like, look, the Bible's named after me. I was telling Trinity before church, I was like, how does it feel to have the perfect name? I mean, how can you get an even better name than Trinity? I mean, come on. I mean, that's like you got the full Godhead in one. Boom, right there. I'd walk around like, yeah. And I thought King James was bad, man. But that's even better. You know what I mean? And then the dude's named Jesus. Like, how cool is that, man? Hey, who are you? I'm Jesus. I am too. He lives within me, right? As he is, so am I in this world, right? And never mind. Okay. I was trying to save time on names, and now I'm taking up more time. Sorry. Right? But these are the names of the men Moses sent to explore the land. Moses gave, I read that. 17, when Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, go up through the Negev and on the hill country, see what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees on it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. Now watch this. Here's the questions. He's like, I want you to answer these questions. Watch. Listen again. What kind? He's like, see what the land is like and whether the people live there are strong or weak, many or few. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees on it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. This is their assignment right here. Like, are you reading their assignment? He's like, I want to know what it's like. Tell me, is it good? Is it bad? What is it like? It's like us. We go test drive a new car, like looking for a different car. Test, well, I want to go look. I want to explore. What do I want? I don't know what I want until I see something, right? I used to think Fords were good until I discovered Dodges, and now I'm driving GMCs. You know what I mean? I just went from sorry to the promise to the promise. I'm kidding. We have a Ford too, so I'm just messing with the Ford people because they're in the front row almost, right? But you guys see what I'm saying? If you don't know what's out there, how do you know what you want? He's like, hey, what do you like? Is it out there? What's the fruit like? This is a promised land. This is what I promised to give you. Now give me a report on what the land's like. What are you believing God for? What are you trusting God for? You got like 8,000 promises in there that are yes and amen. What are you believing God for? And so it says this, it was the season of the first ripe grapes, man. It was harvest time. So they're going to bring some grapes back. Too bad they didn't bring more people with them. Now watch this. So when they went up and explored the land of the desert of Zin and as far as Rehob toward Lebo Hamath, they went up from the Negev and came to Hebron. This is telling them the trip they made. I'm going to drop down to 23. When they reached the valley of Eshcol, they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. A single cluster of grapes. Watch this. Listen to this one. They cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. Two of them carried it on a pole between them. Along with them, some pomegranates and figs. That place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes and the Israelites cut off there. At the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. You know what they're finding? They're going into this land and they're finding, oh my goodness, this is what I've been waiting for. This is what God's promised us. From not just us, but promised Abraham. This is a promise that is my promise. This is my land. And they're walking in it. They're eating the fruit of it. They're seeing all that God has, right? All that God has. And so now they come back, and now we know. They're supposed to tell him, well, what kind of land do they live in? Is it good? Is it bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Is it unwalled? Is it fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees on it? That's the report they're supposed to give. Now watch. Not really the report that comes up. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. He's like, look, it's great. They filled out that report. Hey, this is awesome. You should see this land. It's flowing with milk and honey. And look at the grapes. And they're eating the fruit of the land before they even come in. They're like, yeah, that's the car I want. That's what I need. Woo! Right? They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. Look, here's the proof. This is good. Look at this. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. You know what the problem they had here? They got their butt in the way. Is that true? Listen again. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here's its fruit. But but I'm really trusting God, but I don't see how this could ever happen. I really trust in God's provision, or I really trust in God's healing, or I really trust in his salvation itself, but I don't see how he could ever save a worm like me. I believe that God can take care of my family. I believe God can bring me a family. I believe God can do this and God can do that. But I don't see how. And if I can't figure out how in my mind, then I guess it ain't possible. But I really wanted this new car. But do you guys see what I'm, you guys hear? Can you see what's going on here? But, and this was promised to them by God himself. Now watch this. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in there, and the Geb, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea along them in the Jordan. And they're like, yeah, but they're big. They're huge. These are the giants are in there. And we're just poor little slaves that just come out of Egypt. They're just poor little slaves that seen God deliver them with his mighty hand. Isn't it funny how we forget so quick? Now watch this over here in Romans. It says in Romans chapter 8. Verse 5, those who live according to the sinful nature or the flesh have their mind set on what that nature desires. Now, that doesn't mean stuff. That means controlling and living from yourself. Do you hear what I'm saying? Desiring it from yourself, right? But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Watch this. The mind of a sinful man is death. That's the flesh, also translated as the flesh. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. What's he saying? Are you going to live according to what you can see, hear, taste, touch, and smell? That's your natural instincts. Like, you know what? If I can't taste it, it's not real. If I can't see it, it's not real. If I can't touch it, it's not real. And that's death. Why? Because the only thing that leaves you is it leaves your flesh as God and in control. And the only way to get through that is to let that flesh man die. The Bible says that we're made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. But we don't like the next part. And they love their lives not, they love not their lives unto death. What's it saying? It's not saying that they had to die physically. What it's saying, are you willing to lay down your trust in just what you can see, hear, taste, touch, smell? Just what your physical senses tell you. Because if you can't, how can you believe that Jesus even died for you? How can you even get the first step? You're going to be on a merry-go-round, and that's where we get. That's where we get stuck. But if we can believe, we got to believe with our heart. Do you hear what I'm saying? Allow our mind to work. Every thought we have doesn't come from our mind, right? There's fleshly thoughts, and our flesh controls us. And we need to just tell our flesh, you know what? Flesh, body, submit to my spirit. You submit to my spirit right now. And then I tell my spirit, let's go find Daddy. And then I can worship him. Those who worship him in what? In spirit and truth. In him we live and move and have our being. Now watch this. It says this. The mind of the flesh or a sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. You get to choose. The sinful mind is hostile to God, or the flesh, it's hostile to God. That's what I was telling you. It's like you get taking someone to the hospital to pray for someone, and the Bible says we can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And so you pray for them, and your mind's like having your atheist next. Well, how is that going to happen? Or we get in our prayer group and we're praying for someone. Well, they got this. Well, boy, that's really bad. Whose report are you going to believe? Are you going to trust what you see? Are you going to trust what you hear? Or are you going to trust what God says? Because your mind, and you'll have a whole room full of atheists that way, because we all got one with us, that doesn't believe God. Well, that question will be, how? How is this going to be? Rather than remember Mary when the angel came to her? She's like how? And he's like, well, the Holy Spirit. She's like, good enough for me. I believe you at your word. So be it according to your word. To your word. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Trying to live your life for yourself in your flesh makes you God of your life. I don't want to be God. I'm a son of God, and I want to operate and be manifested as a son of God in this earth. But I don't want, he's my daddy, man. I want to work in and in through him. But I don't want that job. You hear what I'm saying? Like, being a pastor is hard enough. Can't imagine being God. Like, good Lord, right? You, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives where? And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Everything is from the inside out. Now watch this. We went into the land. I'm going back to Numbers. Here's the fruit. But the people who live their lives there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there, and all this, you know, he's going on. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. I love Caleb. He's like, hey, God promised us that, and my goodness, you should see what we got. You should see the promise. I receive it. Now let's just go. He didn't say, well, I don't know how we're going to do it. But we got stuck with the but and the how. Two words we really don't want to mess with, right? But, see, watch again. There it goes. It's getting in the way again. But the men who had gone up with him, get your butt out of the way. For God's sake. Quit trying to figure out how. Quit trying to make excuses for God. Try him and see if he's not faithful. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack these people. They are stronger than we are. But God done said he'd give it to you. The Egyptians were stronger than you were. The Red Sea was stronger than you were. You done faced a million giants that were bigger than the giants that you're looking at in that land. But, how? I'm enjoying this because it's the only time I can say but in church and it's okay. Right? But the men who had gone up said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report in the land they explored. They said the land is they explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak that come from the Nephilim. They were giants. And then watch this. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. That is one of the most powerful statements in the entire Bible. Listen to this one more time. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And we looked the same to them. Do you think your mindset doesn't matter? Do you think how you think doesn't matter? The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. How are you seeing yourself? If you're not seeing yourself good enough, man, your flesh will put you on a spinning wheel and you'll be coming down here saying, oh, Jesus, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. I just need you. I'm a rotten sinner and I'll never be good enough. And you know what? You'll start continuing on that treadmill and on that cycle, and you will never, let me prophesy, you will never get off until you are not conformed to this world, but transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind. It's not the outside that matters. It's the inside that matters. It's not what you're looking at on the outside. It's what you're looking at on the inside. King David had the same thing. He faced a giant. He didn't just kill one giant. He killed five of them. Goliath was just the first. Everyone's cowering because of one giant. And David's like, who are you? You're nothing compared to God. David didn't see himself smaller than the giant. He saw God greater than anything he would ever face. And he didn't even know how. They're like trying to give him the fleshly weapons to put on and the armor. And it's like, this doesn't work for me, dudes. You're going to get me killed. He's like, watch this. God says, I'll do it. I just need five stones. That's all I need. Five stones. Well, how is he going to... Who does he think he is? Irrational confidence. He was living beyond belief in total fulfillment. Well, what is that fulfillment? Not feeling just like in oh, I feel this, or, but a knowing who you are in Christ and knowing who lives inside you. What would have happened if these guys said, oh yeah, I'm with you, Caleb. Let's rock it. Let's rock it. You know what? They'd have been, boom, right in. No. Like, we're going to do the flesh. And what does the flesh do? Round and round and round until you die to yourself. Till you die to that flesh and allow the Spirit of God and your spirit, which is one. I used to always say I'm a spirit who has a soul and lives in a body. God corrected me. You're a spirit who lives in me. You have a soul and you live in a body, but you live in me. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Anything is possible, and all things are yours. Amen? So, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your peace and your love. We just thank you that this just sets in and radiates in people's hearts and lives as they get to know you more. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to learn more about us, check out our website at www.silverlakebaptist.org.